they must shoot Myrtle Beach commercials in the dead of winter when there's only two people there. And on a sunny day on two people, you know, because that's all that was out there. So, you know, but I listened to the ocean. And I compared it with the CDs that you can buy or ocean sounds. But there's nothing like being there, experiencing it yourself. The sounds kind of give you the type of the ocean. And like Spark says, it's time for us to, children have to get rid of types and pictures, and we have to enter into the real life of it. And we haven't experienced the real life of it like God intended for it to be, but it's beginning to happen here. But the church as a whole hasn't experienced the real life of it, so they can't share it or teach it or anything like that. You know, God's intention from the very beginning was that Amanda Fisher experienced the ocean firsthand, if I can bring the analogy in. That Jesus didn't die for her to give her a CD of the ocean sounds. She can't get the ocean sounds through preaching or reading books or even reading the Bible. Are y'all hearing me? That she has to have a personal experience with the ocean himself. Okay, and so that might sound simple, but it goes a long, long way because most of Christianity is a CD. Can you hear that? Most of Christianity is a CD. You know, I love this scripture now, John 3:16. I love it now since I read it in the, you know, a different translation, and God opened my eyes up to it. You know, God gave his son to whosoever should believe him in him, John 3:16, shall experience eternal life. Not just have it, experience eternal life is the right translation. Yeah, he's the same yesterday and forever. I came that you can experience life in the spirit. So you can experience every day eternal life, not just get saved and my sins forgiven. No, I want you to experience. Every person can experience this eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is setting that up in here for you, for me. Every day we get this hidden manna that's available to us. Bible's full of all examples of it. But every day it's for us to eat from a different place. You know, scripture brings these examples in. You know, even the going through the wilderness and the water was bitter. The waters of Marah were bitter, it says in Exodus, right? The waters were bitter. You know, God knows all about that. I'm going to let you come to bitter water. Then I'm going to put the tree in there and make it sweet. In other words, I'm going to give you a taste that you've never had before, that natural human beings have never experienced before. You're going to experience the bitter water just sets you up to experience eternal life. Right. The bitter water just sets you up to experience a higher water. And it gets back to this. You know, here's Jesus' whole purpose for coming. To restore life. To restore life. He didn't, let me just say it like this. He didn't come just to forgive you of your sin, just to forgive me of my sin. Thank God for that. But that's not, you know, he didn't walk the earth and start talking about, I come so for your sins to be forgiven. No, he says, I come to give you life. And John 10:10, right? Thief comes to steal, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to do what? I've come to forgive your sins. No. I've come to give you life. And not only in more and right, more abundant, I'm going to give you life after life after life after life after life. In other words, you're going to keep experiencing life. Right? Can you imagine experiencing life every day? Now, see, to the natural mind, you say, well, I already have life. But so he must be talking about a different kind of life. It's a sweeter life, not long life, of course, that's all involved in it. Not life free of troubles. That's not what he's talking about. This, not at all. It's the life that Adam should have been entering into before the fall. Right? It's this life that comes from God Himself. It's the life that puts a faith in you to be able to conquer anything. You don't have that inside of you until God gives you life for it, right? It's a life that will laugh at troubles. It's a life that will almost welcome trouble, because actually the trouble makes the life come more to the front, right? So here's this life that God's imparting to us that Adam missed out on, but God never forgot about it. You know, and that's his only thing he thinks about. How am I going to get Chantel to walk on water? Right. So how am I going to get Chantel to live above the natural life? How am I going to get Chantel? So I'm going to put opportunities in her place, in her life. And so to give her place to start walking on higher ground, because in God's mind, whatever happened to Adam was never, you know, he knew it was going to happen. But I still have my higher plan in place. So when BJ comes to us and he says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we're just going to say, God's going to put the tree in the water. Yeah. So that you can drink of something sweeter than you ever had before. Right? See, this is the answer, really. God said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I'm going to put the tree in there, whatever comes your way. You know, so Taba can't, we can't hear Taba feeling sorry for us. I love talking about Taba. You can't let Taba feel, we can't feel sorry for Taba. Taba, dip in the water. Because he came to give you life and to give it more abundantly, right? I come to give you life. Not only that, not this human stuff, not this weak stuff, not this ordinary stuff. I come to give you this higher kind of life that Adam missed out on, but the church is supposed to be the ones that are going to get it. They're going to walk in this new kind of thing. This is the whole purpose Jesus came. Now, thank God for forgiveness of sins. And of course, that's a part of it. But the kingdom of God is at hand, right? I'm going to bring life. I'm going to bring healing. I'm going to bring wealth. I'm going to bring this wholly, totally different dimension into your life that you never knew before. It's a whole new kind of life. Even if you look at the Greek words, it's Zoe. You know, it's a different kind of life. It's the God kind of life. And the Lord will do whatever he can to establish that in this house, right? This house has to be the Zoe house, the life center. Zaire has to start experiencing this eternal life now. Drew has to start experiencing eternal life now. It starts to have to get into our bones, you know. With this higher kind of life where you laugh at trouble. You know, it's like Wigglesworth said that when the devil showed up and he was in his room at night and the devil showed up and he woke up and so the devil sitting in the chair. He said, oh, this is just you, and went back to bed. You know, there's no fear in this. There's no worry in this. There's, you know, here's the first song we sang. What's the first song we sang? Did you feel the spirit over that thing? See, it was more than a song. It was more than a CD. It was this ocean itself. It was the spirit himself starting to inhabit us and get born inside of us and take us up to this new kind of life, this new kind of heaven that was always made for us and is going to always be in our midst, right? I'm saying to you that trials come your way so that you can experience this higher life. Right? Here's what the devil wants you to, the trials come for us to faint. Here's the devil wants you to just faint, give up. Why me? Right? And God is saying, psst, 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 psst. I'm trying to put the tree in the water. I'm trying to put the tree in the water so that you can live again. Right? Jesus came to restore what Adam lost. What he forfeited, Jesus came. My only purpose is to give life. That's my only purpose, is to give life. I have come. Look, if you read the Gospel of John, and he keeps talking about it, and that's John's theme. That's John's theme. Life. He came to give you life. John 10:10, right? He came to give you life, and many other things in John. If all he did could be written in all the books, they couldn't contain how he came, and to give people life. And he's the same today. So he's a life giver. He so loved the world that he gave his own son. God did. Whoever believes on him can start experiencing this higher kind of life. You know, it's like the Lord, you know, you start walking with the Lord, Rainey, a little bit, right? Just a little bit. And he starts giving you tastes of life. And then he says, it's almost like he says, start hungering and thirsting for this. You know, and I realize that you can't hunger for or thirst for something that you haven't tasted first, right? So he starts to give us a little bit of a taste of this eternal side of things, and then you want more. You guys remember, I guess the men remember, when BJ was sitting right over there, right? And a Saturday morning prayer, you know, some were sleeping, some were, you know, praying, but he got a taste. Christian, has he ever been the same? You know what I'm saying? So his God just sort of wets your whistle first. Then he says, like, come after me more. And it'll get to the point that that one little taste can change a person's life. I'm talking about not necessarily on the outside. But the taste, it's like, it's so good. It's so good. It's out of this world. It's almost like God, B might have had like bitterness in his life. It's like God put the tree in the water. It's like, taste that, sir. Taste that. With all your troubles going on, just taste that. And now, he's starting to give us a taste, see? And now that's all that BJ wants. God, can I have a little more of that, please? If it's going to cause circumstances to come for me to get it, let them come. But nothing, and it'll get to the point that's all he wants. That's how powerful a taste is. And now all I want is more to eternal life. I don't want cars, homes, not as much as I want this eternal life. And this is why he came, to give us eternal life. And that was the only thing in God's mind, is eternal life. And it's for us to experience him, right? To experience the author of life and to join up with him. And that's the only thing you want. See, salvation in the church has been painted like this. You come to God. It's been painted like this. You come to God. He's going to forgive you all your sins. And you don't taste anything. You don't taste anything. We have this little sort of mental confession that he's forgiven us, and that sort of painted what Christianity is to us. And we go through the next year or two or five or ten, not living off any new bread, not living off a new wine, not living off of any new life. All we have is a mental confession, and we keep trying to make that Christianity. And that's not Christianity. Christianity is BJ taking a sip of life and desiring more of it. And the life itself starts to govern his life. He starts to drink of that life, and it starts to govern him. Not rules, regulations, do's and don'ts. It's the life that starts to take control of this life, right? And that's kind of what happened with Jesus. The Father has life in himself. the same life that my Father have, I have this life myself. I'm drinking from him. I'm drinking of the Father's life, and I'm having that life myself. And it's God's teaching us. I hope we can hear this. You know, let life forgive your sins. Not any scripture or written code or doctrine. Let life forgive your sins. In other words, you start drinking and there's a realness about your forgiveness that starts to take place. And you start to walk above them instead of it being a doctrine or a code. Can y'all hear that part of this? Not really? Okay. Let me put it like this, because, you know, he's got flowing the waters of the Spirit over us. And I love what Christian was saying. Everything gets to be Spirit. You know, he's everything to us. Everything is, you know what, this, when we talk about Spirit, it's just drinking of life. The Spirit himself, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? So when we talk about the Spirit, we're talking about life. So God had this whole thing about life in mind when Christ came, and that's all, you know. You know why those crowds followed him? Because he had life. Not because he said, hey, come follow me and your sins will be forgiven. No, they had some, there was some life about him. But it was bigger than the natural life. It was a higher spiritual life. And they had a thirst and a taste for it. And they, and as soon as they got off where they said, well, we're coming for the food, he said, you're after the wrong thing. This thing's always in God's mind. And even in John chapter 2, when he talks about the wedding of Canaan, at Canaan, and the turning of the water into wine, you know, here's God's mind about the thing. The only thing I have is to give you life. When the master of the feast, I don't know what language is up there, when the master of the feast did what? When he tasted. Oh, taste and see. So here's when he tasted it. He said, "Oh, look, where did this come from?" I know. I'm giving my own language. Where did this come from? In other words, you. Normally, people serve the best first. Can you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying? You hear what God's mind is saying? I waited for the church to give my best wine to. Okay. You see why it's such a deep fallacy for us to have missed this? You know, we should be drinking on something so much higher. Normally, you serve the best first. And Lord's wisdom, and his wisdom is, I'm waiting for Deborah, that she's going to taste something above what Adam had. Are y'all listening? She's going to be so in the spirit with this stuff. And I'm giving you my mind about it in this whole scripture that the Holy Ghost revealed about the wedding and the water being turned to wine. You know, most of Christianity is still on water. But as soon as we taste something from on high, as soon as we drink out of a different source, out of a heavenly source, as soon as a taba, you know, those pictures where Jesus is at the table with the cup, you know, or when, as soon as a taba drinks from the cup of living water, as soon as she drinks of the wine of the Spirit, oh, I've got to have something more than just going to work or even just going to heaven. I got to have something more than just having my sins forgiven. I got to have this eternal life flowing through my veins. Lord, help me to drink of you every day, because you're the wine of life. We're walking in a whole different dispensation now. We're walking in a whole different, you know, God had this whole thing in mind the whole time, that we would start to drink of this this new kind of water, this wine, that we would drink of this heavenly place in Christ Jesus. and that now we're starting to abide in him and drink from him every day. Now when issues come forth, now when problems come forth, now when trouble comes forth, God, show me how to drink. Show me what to do. You know, we don't respond so much in ourselves. We let the response govern us by the Spirit. Are y'all following me? You know, there's just, you know, we have some certain words, you know, grace. You know what grace really is? Not just forgiveness of sins. It's not unmerited favor. It's not a position. Grace is life. And the Lord reminded me of, I'm trying to get to something here. The Lord reminded me how I talked about Peter on the water, and how they couldn't catch any fish, and the Lord said, fish on the other side. They came to the shore, said, fish on the other side, or whatever, and then they did, and they got this great big load. And Peter said this, get away from me because I'm a sinful man. I'm trying to get something to you. You know, we really can't teach or preach or, you know, talk about how, you know, how you really learn how sinful you are? Not by somebody preaching it to you. Because all you're going to do is kick back on that. No. When life starts to get inside you, the life, you know, the life is going to convict you. Are y'all following me? The life doesn't work on its own, right? No, the life is going to convict you. Jesus didn't walk up to him and said, you know, you're a sinful guy, you know. The life, the conviction came. You know, grace is life. Preaching doesn't convict you of sin. Grace will. Life will. You understand what I'm saying? Life will do it. So, look. So you got to know this. You know, here's one thing I read about. You know, Spark said this week. He said, great day. He said, when somebody sent this out. The worst thing you can do if somebody says, you know, should I stop going to, you know, the club? Don't tell them, you know, or should I stop lying? Don't say, yeah, you should stop. Don't tell them. Let the grace of God, let the life of God do the convicting. Not our human understanding and religious reasonings on why we think they should stop, because probably we're worse than they are. No, you should keep telling them, go ahead, keep doing it until the grace stops you. You understand? Let you know you're free to do whatever you want. You know. And then your conviction should be a free conviction too. Are you following me? That should be a free conviction too. Not Robert taking it with his scriptural knowledge. And this is why the church is more conscious of sin than it is of grace. Right? We've preached sin more than we've preached grace. We've preached, we want people to be like ourselves. You know, and so Jesus never come on the scene condemning that. I don't condemn you. 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 There's a freedom of grace in the Spirit that gets you to come. And this is why Deborah, we titled the whole thing, He Came to Restore Life. He came to restore life. So look, Pastor Jerry has nothing to give Pastor Roz that's going to help her except for life. I'm talking about the life of God. the life of God that's inside of her, right? The life of God that's on in the inside of Pastor Jerry will meet the need of Pastor Ross in a life-centered way. And soon as Pastor Ross say, well, should I do this or that or this or that? Well, Holy Ghost will tell you. Especially as strong as he's starting to get here, and I'll miss, you know, is how strong he's getting here. Right? Can you see? You know, all of Christianity is going to get turned upside down when people see this. See, we think we're doing the work by calling Miss Nighty to the altar and say, confess, you know, and then we even go real far. You're not going to do it again. Remember the lady got stoned and Jesus said, go sin no more. We said, see, you're not supposed to sin no more. That, if Jesus said that to her, he imparted a grace to not do it, not as a warning, not as a condemnation. There was a grace there coming out of his mouth. Not to condemn her, but to give her strength to rise up and walk on water above it. See, the church hasn't experienced that kind of grace. We go through day by day by day. We're trying to get rid of stuff day by day because the preacher said, you know. Sometimes I listen to you guys' stories. BJ and Chris and Taba and Ross. I know Joyce, y'all got some stories. My upshot is, see, you never got free. You never got free. The more the people tell you not what not to do is the more strength, you know, the law is the strength of sin. So the more people put the law on you, the more strength this devil has over you. Are y'all following? But let us get in the spirit like this morning. That freedom. Let us get into real freedom. The desire starts to go away for the negative. And then this upward desire starts coming. I want more of this high freedom. How do I get more of this spiritual life? This woman at the well, come see your man. He's not condemning me. He wants the whole town to follow him because he's sharing my life is right in front of his hands, but in his eyes, and he told me everything I did. You know, even when he talked about the husbands and all that, he wasn't trying to condemn her. He's just like, I know about your life already. And even though I know about it, I'm still in your midst to give you living water. His Tava, she's been married 12 times. Or was it 13? I told you a million times, don't exaggerate. Here's what Jesus does. I see how this is crazy kind of love. I see how bad you are. Now come dip in the water of life that's going to put something in you. To free you from it, right? Just drink from above. A lot of times, you know, while we're not free, because we preach most of the law. But as soon as we start drinking out of these heavenly, essential heavenly waters, this is what God's mind the whole time. This is God's mind the whole time. Resurrection water, right? This heavenly water. As soon as you start drinking out of it, something happens on the inside of your desires start to change. And even when that scripture says God will give you the desires of heart, see, we take that naturally. Oh, good, I want a new pair of shoes. No, he starts to plant a grace in you and start changing our desires. I want that living water now. I'm thirsty now for something that's uncommon. That's totally uncommon, you know. Man has this common place. God said, I'm going to give you something that's uncommon. Not ritualistic. It'll be heavenly. And here's how. So I'm just, you know, I talk from my experience. God will give me a little drink. I'm like, where in the world does water come from? Where'd it come from? And I just want to tell everybody. But I can't remember it. You understand? God, why you take that back away from me? I don't want to let you remember it so that you want another drink. Are you following me? I don't want you to live off of that anymore. Drink again. Right? He said, week later, I had another drink. Oh, God, Jesus. Mike. I can't tell you what happened to me today. I'll tell you about it this afternoon. When I see him, I can't remember. I can't remember. Because one, see, enthusiasm will get us all wrong. You understand? You think you got something. You just got the tip of the iceberg, sir. Right? And you go overboard. But I'm telling you, you have these experiences in God, right? Where he takes you to drink of what I call the river of prosperity. It's the river of prosperity. It's a true drink. When I get to the river of prosperity, Pastor Jerry, the scales start coming off my eyes. And all I can see is eternal things, right? And it's just like, damn, there's so much joy. And I go to share it, and I forget. One day, you know, when I say forget, I don't mean up here. I know something happened, but down in here, the picture is the life of it is. In other words, I just need another drink, and that's how God is. I want you to drink from these living waters, and you start thirsting after it. I had a thought, I just forgot. You start thirsting after it and thirsting after it and thirsting after it and thirsting after it. And even though you forget, down in here, it did something to you. You understand? Down in here, down inside of here. So here's the Holy Spirit ministering to us. See, what I talked about earlier about Pastor Jerry having only life for Roz, just for an example. Can y'all feel that? Do you know how long it takes? How much work and cross that it takes for us to think we have to understand that we don't have anything for anybody but life? It takes a deep working. It takes, you know, that's why we have a gazillion books out there. All of them supposed to be helping you. Right, some of them have no life in them, guys. But I mean, here's God emptying Jerry out. Let me just put it that way. Pastor Jerry's getting emptied out until she starts to desire one thing. I just need this life. I don't care if every chair is empty in here. God, just give me this life. I don't care if I get down to $0 in my bank account. God, just give me this life. I don't care if I have nothing to show to natural man of what blessings are. So we have our own idea of blessings. You know, I don't care what they see. All I care about is your life that's on the inside of me. Give me another drink out of the waters of life. This is why we get all those scriptures that says, come drink freely. He that thirsts, come drink freely of this water. And the Holy Spirit's going to start to make that happen. It takes this deep working of the cross to see that all we need is life and the life of God, and that he gave it to us more abundantly. And we get it on the inside, and things around us begin to change. That we don't need any other law but the law of the Spirit of life living on the inside of us. And then I know where to go, how to go, when to be quiet, when to shut up, when to talk, when to speak, because the life of God's on the inside of me. Andrew Murray said, it's life or grace that humbles us, not a teaching. It's life. See, all Amanda really needs, Chris, is life. You know, Glow and I, we woke up early Saturday morning. That was just yesterday. We're down Surfside Beach, you know, a little further south than Myrtle Beach, and we woke up 4:30. We said, hey, since we're up, we're going to go ahead and, well, I think I said, and she agreed, let's go ahead and go. So we left about 5:40. Well, great day. You know, sun didn't come up till like 6:30, 6:45. And so we GPS everything. We didn't know where we were. And I'm thinking, we GPS, you know, put a home address, go home. And we just follow the lady. We didn't even question it. You know, you follow the lady. You follow the voice. You follow the voice. You follow the voice, you know. If she go that way, you just go. You know, turn left at Route 544, you know, and 500 feet or whatever. And then... and you just do it. You got to listen to the lady. But turn right and, you know, next mile. And, of course, the phone gives you 10 miles from there. You're going to be bearing left. You know, I don't know how the hell you know all that stuff. You're going to bear left, getting the two left lanes, getting the first left. Well, I'm thinking... she was going to put us on the highway real quick, but she didn't put us on the highway. Glow. It was probably an hour of back roads, two lane back roads, dark, foggy. No real clear signs, right? Turn left at this street, and there's no street sign. So you just got to turn left and hope she doesn't say, you turn or whatever, right? Yeah, reroute it, right? You just hope she don't say that, because there's no sign on the street. And I kept waiting. Okay, well, where's the highway? And she kept saying... and go, every streets are all rural. You know, where the house here and then another house 2 miles, and then and you don't see another one for 5. And she would turn on this real rural route. She'd say, stay on this route for 6 miles. Right, turn to Charlie's house, right. I'm like, where? And so in my mind, I start going, okay, why are we back here? And so I wondered, I said, there's got to be another way out of here that's full of, like, you know, 5-lane highways and stuff. The Holy Ghost, like, slow down. I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you. Shut that mind off. Shut that mind off. And it's like he said this. I'm showing you what happens when I give you life. You understand? This hidden life that whatever circumstances in life, whatever dark roads, whatever fall, whatever uncertainty, what I know my way through this. There were no towns with any familiar names, you know, Rabbit's Corner or Oak This, or you understand. See, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. It's not an external thing, right, Christian? We have to leave the toys and the types of external life, external externals, and learn that as a higher life is going to come dwell inside of you, call his name GPS or what's the lady's name? Call him that just for the sake of the. See, you didn't need an external map. You didn't need a stop at the gas station and say, yeah, we're in the right place. Right? Oh, y'all follow me? I mean, this was an hour and some. This is an hour and some. I have to say, though, I was glad to see the sign Lumberton. I recognize that city. But are you following me? You know, look, crossing railroad tracks, you know, crossing highways, big stop sign, you know, you must stop here. Crossing highways and go right back into the dark and the. We, Holy Spirit, I'm showing you the grace of life. And if you start thirsting after this, now this is my whole point. Start thirsting after the grace of life, right? This beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana, right? This is the beginning of it. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste it first. Oh, God, I need that to guide my life. I need that to guide my life. See, you know, Ron brought this wonderful teaching, and it's so changing us, about the first chair. Look, none of us are walking in first chair, but at least we're getting a taste. See? In other words, the experience means everything, and we're not getting it every day, but we're getting a taste. And God just give us more first chair. Give us more first chair. And look, and then teach me how to give it to my children. Glo and I came out of there. I want to just put it in biblical language, like pure gold. If y'all follow what I'm saying. I wish I could have had you in the car, because some of the roads were crazy. I just thought, from traveling from a city like we were in, to, let's say, 95 eventually, that there was just a quicker, directer route that, but God didn't let it happen. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even the way we got there. I don't know why it changed. That wasn't the way we went when we got there. She didn't say, oh, I'm taking you to an alternate route because there's a traffic trouble. None of that. Just say, go this way. I'm telling you, at least 15 turns. All in the woods. When God wants to teach you, he wants to teach you. And one of the things we did when we were down there, we went to see the movie Harriet. I thought about Ra. And I'm just saying, I'm trying not to change the subject too much and not put up, say you got to go see it, because we do it. This is what we're learning. We do what the Holy Ghost says. But I'll say this, out of all the movies people say you got to go see, that's the one that they were right on, in my opinion. Matter of fact, I'm going to go again. We'll go again. They're really good. But here's the part. Here's the part. And she was taking them slaves out of there, and they had set up that trap for her. She could have easily walked right into it. GPS kicked in. Oh, yeah, follow me. The Holy Ghost GPS kicked in. And she's like, oh, no, we can't go that way. See, that's real stuff. That's real stuff. saved her life and the life of a whole lot of others. See, this is when Jesus says, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You know, we don't experience all the problems we experience as the GPS is working. Or even if they come, you're getting out by the GPS, not by your own logic, and you're not feigning and fretting and stressing and whatever. Plus the other part in the movies is good too, but that's, to me, one of the highlights. She had visions. And when Pentecost comes and the Spirit comes and life comes, you're going to have dreaming visions, right? That's exactly what's going to start happening here more and more and more. It's not dreams for the sake of dreams. It's not just for enthusiasm, because life is coming to us. And freedom's coming to us, right? D got something up there? I know D can be sneaky. John 10:10. Give you my life more abundantly. That's something on the inside of you and me. And I thought about the quote. I'm like you, Chris, now. I can't get off the quote. But I remember Raquel gave us a testimony of how the head of her Christian organization was giving her a reward for her service or whatever. This is the head of the whole East denomination. I don't know. And they gave her a toy. They gave her a toy. But here he is trying to give us the first thing. What did it say, Chris? The first thing, first and the best. But I'm telling you, that's always on the inside, guys. That's the hidden GPS from the Spirit. That's the life more abundantly, right? But when people say, you know, what should I do? And when I say pray, I mean I don't mean just go say, Lord, bless, you know, God's grace and God's good or whatever. We're waiting on the GPS to move. Right? I'm waiting on the compass to point me, my spiritual compass to point me in whatever direction. That thing can get more reliable than any external GPS, men's opinions, your own thoughts. It can be more reliable than life itself. Jesus said, you go to the feast. I'm not going because life's not bubbling up in me about it. And all your relatives say, why are you not going to the feast? You know, you think you're something, whatever. No. Well, you talk to my GPS, but I'm not going to do anything that my GPS don't tell me to do. I come to give you life. You know, that takes away the fear of things. It takes away your flesh, because your flesh always want to do things on its own. Stirring, then steering. Stirring, then steering. Stirring, then stealing. Steering. Like a compass, stirring, then steering. Like God, this magnet. He's like, he's this magnet, you know. Harriet Tubman, you got something? Harriet Tubman. Okay, repeat what who said. DeBoer. Oh, okay, good. God's presence stirring, GPS. So here's Miss Nida. Has this hidden GPS inside of her. Look, I come to give you life. I come to give you to you more abundantly. And that GPS is going to be accurate as, you know. See, we've taken that scripture to mean something on the outside. God's going to give us some material something. He's going to give us abundant life. I'm going to live this good life. You know, I'm going to live on the beach and, you know. No. You know, it's something that's worth 1,000 times more than that is life on the inside. And Rob, abundantly. See, Anita got this hidden GPS on the inside of her. Should I go back to Jamaica, man? No. That's not what that hidden measure says. I'm rejoicing that hidden measure that God's given us, right? That measure of faith, that measure of love and life. Be no more worry. Because I feel the stirring and the steering, the life from above. Look, Pastor Mike, I'm eating off the tree of life. And that begins to manifest. We can take that off. I won't go. But, you know, once that starts to manifest in the church. See, we've been trying to get the manifestations without the hiddenness, without the GPS. He came to restore life. He didn't come. That's, I'm going to give you this new life. Okay. Last thought here. This is why we talk about resurrection. Okay. Because he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Are you following me? Okay. Pastor Mike, will you pray?
Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you, O God, for the restore of life. Thank you for taking us back to where you started this thing. The eternal, eternal life. The original life. The foundation that you had planned in the beginning. Life. Thank you for exposing that life to us now. In 2019, 2020. God, we thank you, oh God, for the life experiences, oh God, that's manifesting by the grace that you have set apart just for us, oh God. It's not by coincidence, oh God, that you allow the pastors them to go through the back rows, oh God. It's not by coincidence that you allow us to go through the back rows of life. Thank you, oh God, for exposing both sides of the cross. There's an inner working and an outer working that's taking place because of the grace that you have stored upon us, oh God. Ah, you to restore. We thank you, God, that you are restoring things inside of us, oh God. Not from the natural standpoint, but God, you're restoring the spiritual aspect of things in our lives as we sit here today, God. You're changing our mindsets, oh God, that we're not really be worrying about the circumstances and situations or the trials and tribulations, oh God, but all those are just light afflictions. But now, God, the restoring of your grace, oh God, to partake of the heavenly and spiritual blessings. That even if we didn't even pretty much understand something, oh God, that was said today, God, the restore will bring it back to our remembrance. When we go through this situation, oh God, as an experience, oh God, the restore is going to bring it back, oh God. Follow the GPS. Listen to the Spirit. Don't look for the highway. Don't remember when, but walk in the things, oh God, as we walk in the things that you have stored upon us now, God. Thank you, oh God, for that grace that you continue to pull out that manna, oh God, to us every day. There's no mistakes in you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.